Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Titled A Dangerous Faith. Because when we start applying the things that we see in this book, it will make us people, dangerous people in this world. People that can change things and not keep things the same. But I don't know about you guys, one of my biggest problems in life is can sometimes more than often, be a problem of overreacting. I have a dog. Her name is Nellie. She is an Italian Mastiff. She weighs about 120, 115, over 100 pounds. She's a big dog. She's bigger than my kids. And there was one day I came home from, I just picked my kids up from my grandma's house, and I came home, and I went to open the door where she sleeps. She sleeps in our laundry room inside the house, and I opened that door, and this foul stench greeted me. I immediately shut that door, took my kids through the front door of our house, and went into panic mode. And my kids are hungry. It's lunchtime. My kids want to eat. But instead, my brain is thinking, I need to clean up the mess that my dog just made in our entire laundry room. It's all over the walls. It's all over the washer and dryer. It's on the door. It is everywhere. My kids are going, Daddy, I'm hungry. And I am just flipping out. I'm like, I don't have time right now. I've got to do this. I'm focused on the moment instead of focused on the people that I care about. Because how many of us in life have been focused more on a moment, on a situation, than focused on the person? You know, I think we all can struggle with that. I think we all maybe have had those times and those days where something immediately happens. And I think one of the biggest areas that we can struggle with maybe in saying or doing something where we allow our mouth or our fingers to have the best of us can sometimes be social media. You know, where we can say something there, post something there, and I don't know how many of you guys have either posted, shared, or tweeted something, and really, you should just not press send. There are times where I've typed out an entire text just to delete. I have a friend who, what he does instead of typing it in the text because he's accidentally sent it, he'll put it in the notes so that he doesn't accidentally send. There was a time where I text somebody about this girl he was dating, and I said, dude, you really need to break up with that girl. She's I said psycho and some other things there. And I sent it, and it went to the wrong guy. I had two people in my phone. You know, it's amazing at how many Joshes, how many Johns, how many guys with the same name you have in your phone. And I press send, and he texts me back, what are you talking about, dude? And I looked, and I just shouldn't have pressed send. You know, there's a saying in the Bible, and we have a slide up here. We need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. But too many of us, like myself, are quick to anger, quick to speak, and last to listen. So today we're going to talk about how can we be slow. You know, I think we need to be quicker to be slow. We need to learn the quick response of being slow in reaction. You get it? We need to learn to be quick responders, to be slow in our reactions. So that as soon as something happens, we think it through to the end. My kids, they don't do that very well, but we're teaching them. Because it's easier to punch and then to ask later. We have boys, not me punch them, them punch each other. But it's a process. We've been teaching him for 10 years. I still punch my brother. And we're still in our 20s, so. I'm kidding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, as we open your word, speak to our hearts. Help us to learn this morning. Help us to receive from you what you desire to say to us. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in our valley. Lord, I thank you for what you did this week at VBS. Lord, we ask your blessings upon Palm Vista this morning and Pastor Andrew as he shares your word. Lord, I lift up Valley Life churches around the valley and Redemption and Hillsong, Lord, and CCB and Calvary Community and The Refuge. Lord, God, I ask your blessings upon the churches around our valley. Lord, I pray that we would never be about ourselves, but we would always be about you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would open with me to the book of James, James chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, that's fine. You can download the YouVersion Bible app on your phone if you have that. If you don't have that, then we're going to have it right up here. And here's where we're going to be this morning, in James chapter 1. Here's what James says. This you know, my beloved brethren. This you know. It's interesting that this should be something that we all should know. It shouldn't be new. It should be something that we know. And here's what we should know. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. When have we ever been angry and been thankful at the end for it? Have you ever? Or is it usually we regret how we reacted and then we have to say we're sorry? I am saying I'm sorry. I mean, at least once a week, if not more, to my kids for being angry and not thinking before I say. Or reacting when one kid does something, you know, when Joel does something to Ezra and I get on Joel and I'm like, what happened? He's like, well, Ezra pushed his buttons, which is what? They do boys push each other's buttons. Judah pushes Joel's. Joel pushes Ezra's. Ezra pushes Joel's. It's just how it goes. And really, and Joel sometimes pushes Judah's, but usually it's Judah pushing. It's usually how it works in my home. It's just these buttons. And then they become reactors. And I can be so like them. James here is continuing his thought as he goes through this book about life being under various trials. And when we're coming under some trials, we have to be so slow in our reaction in them. Just previously, he was talking about in verse 18, he talks about the word of truth being brought forth. And James is saying that we need to be quick listeners to God's word of truth. Isn't it funny how when life unravels, we start losing our patience? It's the first thing we lose. It's one of the biggest things we pray for, but the first thing we don't have when things don't go exactly as we planned. We become such reactors when all of our emotions go out of control. We tend to throw all reason and all wisdom out the door, and we become these emotional creatures. Have you guys ever done that? When something does not go your way, or somebody says something, or you hear a rumor. Have you guys ever heard a rumor and then you react to that rumor and then you find out that it was a lie and they actually never said that? But you have this mess that you have to clean up because you were quick to anger, quick to speak, instead of slow to listen. And we have this hot mess of a life that we just created that somehow we've got to clean up. You know, I'm like that. So here, what we're going to look at this morning is some simple ways to help remember how to react in a slow way when those situations come. The first step is stop. Stop and evaluate the situation. Stop and evaluate the situation. You see, when I came home, and if I would have just stopped and evaluated the situation, I would have been like, okay, this is a dog. Apparently there's something wrong. I can't do anything about it right now, but I can feed my kids. I'm going to take my kids in. I'm going to let the dog outside. I'm going to shut the doors. Everything's going to stay in there. It's not going to go anywhere. She's already done the mess that she can do. She's going to go outside, and I'm going to feed my kids. And I'm going to be patient. I'm going to get them all ready so that they don't bother me. And then I'm going to go. You know, I think the first step when we come to any kind of thing like this, stop and evaluate the situation. Is it a post on Facebook? Is it a tweet that you read? Is it a rumor that you heard? Whatever it is, stop and evaluate. Be like, you know what? No, I'm not going to let this react. I'm not going to let this make me overreact. I'm not going to let this get to my brain. I'm gonna stop right now. Devil, no, I'm going to stop. Stop and evaluate. In Psalm 139, verse 23, the psalmist writes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." So when we are in that situation, say, God, let God search your heart. You see, so many of these things, if we want to be ready for what is going to happen, we have to be preparing for it now. If you're going to prepare in the present, if you're going to prepare for how you're going to react in the moment, you're going to fail. Because isn't that what so many of us do? It's in the moment that we're like, why did I react this way? Well, did we prepare for it? If you want to be good at athletics, you have to prepare beforehand so that you can excel in the moment. You know, if you want to be a good musician, you just can't get up on stage and be like, well, I hope I know this song. Well, I don't even know these chords. Well, how do you know them? You prepared in the past so that you're ready in the present and for the future. You see, if we want to be ready and not be overreactors, if we want to be good listeners and slow to anger and slow to speak, then we have to be preparing now for the moments that will come. So one thing we can do is say, God, search my heart. God, search my heart. Is there anything in me? Allow the Lord to search your heart. I don't know about you guys, but my heart can be so evil sometimes, and the more I allow God to search it, and the more I allow God into my heart, the more I allow God to look at me and evaluate me and show me the things that I need to work on, the better I'm off. Psalm 141 says this, verse 3, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Man. I can't tell you how many times I've said that verse when I'm getting ready to go maybe into a meeting, maybe getting ready to go talk to somebody that I need to confront or talk to somebody I need to talk to. And that is a verse that's like a mantra for me. God, set a guard over my mouth. Set a guard over my mouth. God, set a guard over my thumbs. God, set a guard over my thumbs. God, set a guard over my thumbs. So that we don't tweet, we don't say, we don't text, we don't speak something we would regret. The psalmist says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Another thing that we could do in setting a guard over my mouth is don't put yourself into that situation. You know, when it was this political time and we were all voting for the hot mess that was going to run our country, and, you know, it was which hot mess do we want? Do we want this one or that one? You know, we got, yes. For some of us, the best thing should have been to turn social media off for a couple months. That would have been the best thing. Okay, I know that if I get on Facebook or whatever this morning, if I get on there, I know I'm going to be ticked off all day long. There are certain friends that we just don't talk about politics. We avoid it in our friendship. We avoid it in our conversation because I know we don't agree. We see things differently. We both love Jesus, and we love all about God, but we disagree on certain areas. So that is an area that I know I'm not going to open that door because when I do, I'm going to hate him. It's a love kind of hate, you know? You can't really hate. You shouldn't hate. Don't hate people. It's bad. So setting a guard, not just over your mouth, but over your situations. I know I don't want to go there. Don't put yourself there. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. You see, when we're in a situation, if we're allowing God to search our hearts, if we're asking God to set a guard over our mouths, and if we are waiting on the Lord. Now, a lot of this is pre-work. A lot of this is stuff that we're doing beforehand.
We've got to be in God's word. We've got to be allowing, knowing that, okay, a situation could come. This could happen. Whatever, you know, you've got to be preparing beforehand for that situation in the moment. So we've got to be willing to wait on the Lord. Psalm 25, 21 says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I will wait for you. Psalm 37, 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you. You see, in different situations, if we're willing to stop just for a moment and wait, it's amazing that God might already have a plan that he's going to work out. Some of us are too quick, and we mess it up before we're able to see what God wants to do. So the first thing we do in any situation, just stop. Stop. Don't react, just stop. The next thing, listen. Listen to wisdom. Listen to wisdom from God, and listen to wisdom from wise counsel. Seek it. Don't think you've got it all figured out. It's so important to be good listeners. It's so important to be a person that has an ear that is in tune to the voice of the Lord and in tune to the voice of wisdom, not foolishness. Who has your ear the quickest? Psalm 78, verse 1 says, listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. The word incline means to bend one's ear. Who are you bending your ear to? Who are you listening to? Who gives you wisdom? Who gives you advice? Who helps you make the decisions that you have to make in life? Who has that for you? You know, if my kids were to listen to the wisdom of their friends, the things they would do would be outrageous. They would spend all their money on buying fidget spinners. My son, I took him shopping. My kids were sort of having a rough night one night, and I had to go out and buy some things for VBS, and I told them, I said, you guys can all go with me, but you have to finish your dinner in time. Well, Judah finished, the other ones didn't, so they didn't get to go. So Judah and I went out, we went shopping, and I took him to go to Big Five, and he wanted to buy new cleats for football. I mean, this kid, I swear, he wants new cleats every season. Season's only, it's not even a year. A season like the 2 months. And so he wants to buy new cleats. And I let him try them on, and I go, Judah, you just got new cleats. Now, if he was with his friends, and his friends would have said, Judah, you got to buy those. Those are so cool. Those are so cool, Judah. They wouldn't have said, but Judah, why would you spend money on cleats right now? Because the cleats you have at home already fit you. And these you'll just grow out of so quick, and then you're going to have two pair of cleats that you still fit into, but you're not going to be able to use them. You see, wisdom helps you think through all the way. Foolishness helps you look in the moment and say, yeah, do it. How many of us have friends that are like, yeah, go do it. Go buy the car. Go buy the clothes. Go do this. Oh, quit your job and go blah, blah. And yeah, date her. Date him. Sleep with them. Do this. Yeah, why not? And then at the end, you're like, what did I just do? Yeah, I've listened to people. And then I've thought, why did I listen to you? Like one time I was taking a bunch of my friends home from an event when I was in high school. And I had a car full of, I don't even know how many people. I don't think Colin was in my car. But I know Jake was. And a guy named Wes. And they are like, hey, Jeremiah, let's see how fast we can go. And of course, I'm like, well, you're a Christian and you're wise and I'm going to listen to you. No, my thought was, yeah. So we gunned it, and we're coming down the off-ramp off of Thunderbird and the I-17, and I don't know how fast I'm going. Too fast. And I'm now going down Thunderbird, and a police officer pulls me over. And I am sitting in the car, and he's got his bright lights on us, and we just got finished with church. I mean, we were spiritual kids. And the police officer comes, and he's got his bright light shining in all my mirrors and his flashlight shining on me. And he goes, sir, I need to see your license and registration. And I got this guy, Jake, in my back seat. And he yells, Jeremiah, give him a donut, and he'll go away. I'm not kidding. And then the officer said, sir, I need you to step out of the car. I'm like, dang it, Jake. And he's the last kid I got to drop off at home. He's going to go with me all the way back to my house where his mom's waiting for me. So I get out of the car. He goes, do you know why I pulled you over? And I said, well, yeah, I'm a was speeding. Do you know how fast you were going? I said, I don't fully remember how fast I was going. Was that wisdom that he said? If I had a donut right there, I'd be like, hey, officer, you know what? I know you're pulling me out of speeding, but I have Lamar's. You see, that's foolishness. That's high school wisdom. But you see, in life, those same people that are not seeking wisdom from the Lord, their wisdom is the exact same. It may not be offering an officer a donut, but is offering you foolishness throughout your life if they're not seeking the Lord. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? In Psalm 81, God says to his people, if you would have listened. In verse 10, he says, my people did not listen. Verse 13, oh, that my people would listen. How many times have you ever tried to give somebody wisdom, and then at the end, because they didn't listen, you said, hey, if you would have just listened to me. You guys ever done that? Your husband or wife? Don't nudge them right now. I say that to my kids. Hey, I told you not to touch it. I told you not to do that. If you would have listened to me, hey, if you would have listened, we could have had a really fun day. If you would have just obeyed, you know, how many times? Well, God says the same thing. If you would have listened. So who are you listening to? Is it the wisdom you get from the guys or girls at the gym? You're working out. You're like, man, I'm having some real hard times with my, you know, my wife and my girlfriend or whatever, and they're like, man, you should just dump them or da-da-da, but whatever, you know, they don't care about you. Or who has your ear? Who's giving you your wisdom? Is it podcasts that you're listening to that maybe you shouldn't? Is Drake giving you wisdom on maybe how you should react in relationships? Man, his songs, you know, when he speaks, it's like, yes. Okay? Is TV telling you what an appropriate relationship in life looks like? Who has your ear? Who has it? Who are you listening to? So in any life situation, number one, slow down. Just stop. Just stop for a moment. Listen to wise counsel. Listen to the people that will give you wisdom. Number three, obey it. Obey the Lord. When the Lord tells you to stop, when somebody says, hey, I really don't think you should do it, and now if they're wise, now you're going to get foolish things. Like, I shouldn't have, I don't know what I should have done in the car situation. I mean, I was sort of stuck. He was in the back seat, and I love him to death, but sometimes we just say things. I mean, we're all in high school. Who hasn't said something they regret in high school that you get stuck with their whole life? I mean, the Bible is full of stories that they wish, man, I wish my dumb accidents, my dumb mistakes in life weren't written down and known for thousands and thousands of years. Aren't you glad your life isn't like this? Sometimes that we read it and we say, man, I'm so glad I'm not like David or Abraham. I mean, kill a guy, sleep with a guy's wife. Man, I haven't done that. But the thing is, social media, it never disappears. You might delete it, but it's stuck. I know people have taken screenshots of things and like, I saw this. And like, I deleted that. Well, I kept it before you deleted it because I knew you would. Don't you hate those people? The third thing, obey. Obey what the Lord is telling you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raised up against the knowledge of the Lord, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord. Take your thoughts captive. Take them captive. There are going to be times in life, the situations that come, and you're going to have a moment. You're going to have, and for sometimes, it's a split second where you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to react or am I going to stop? You're going to have to make that choice, but you have to make that choice before you even get there. God says, take every thought. Have your thoughts be running through a filter. Now, this takes training. As parents, we're training our kids to do this. Because, you know, when you get older, you just can't punch the guy for not listening to you. You can't do that. So my kids, that right now, their reaction is if one of them isn't doing what the other one wants to do, usually it ends up with a punch or a slug or you throw a ball at their face if they're not playing the game right. It's something like that. Well, you can't do that when you're 30 years old and your boss isn't listening to you and he didn't do what you asked him to do, or your employee didn't do what they asked. You just can't pick up a ball and throw it at their head. You can't do that in life. And so what did we do as kids, as parents? You taught them. This is what you do. Hey, do you think throwing the ball at your brother's head was the best? No. What do you think you should have done? I probably should have, like, asked for help. Yeah, that's a good idea. And so, but why is it we stop thinking and learning when we hit 18? Because, you know, we still react. We may not throw a ball at somebody's head, but we throw a tweet out that is right at somebody's head. Or we say something to the person we work with about somebody we want to talk about, or we say it to our friends, and we're like, but, you know, I'd say this to their face. Who cares if you'd say it to their face? Say it to their face. You don't say it to somebody else's. That's called gossip. God says, take every thought captive. Everyone. Run it through that filter. God, is this from you? God, help me in this situation. Obey the Lord. If you take those thoughts captive and realize that God is on your side, you know what? It's so much easier in life. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7 says this: trust the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Trust in the Lord. Trust him with what he's doing. Acknowledge him. You know what? God can take a messed up path and make it straight. So you're in this situation, whatever your situation is. First, stop. Stop and evaluate what's going on. Listen to the Lord and listen to wise counsel. Obey what is being told to you. Obey it. Do it. The last step is now walk. Walk in love. If love is your filter, if love is what gets you focused, if love is where you're going, it's so much easier to react in a way that is appropriate. But if you're already heated and you're already angry and you know how you're going to react, then you need to stop. You need to just stop and slow down. But if we walk in love, your reaction will always be profitable. Walking in love doesn't mean you're just saying everything is okay. But walking in love is you're thinking of them through the eyes of God. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love just as Christ also gave himself up for you. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Love does not demand its own. It's not rude. It's not irritable. It keeps no records of wrong done. It does not rejoice in the injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses hope. Love always endures, and love never fails. Colossians 3:14 says, beyond all things, put on love. I read a story about a dad who was on his way home, and he had his four kids, and he loaded them all into a bus. And his four kids were, it was at night, and his four kids were just running around on that bus like crazy, and they were screaming and hollering, and the people on the bus started getting super irritated with this dad. They were thinking, the people were commenting, going, man, if this dad could just control these kids, if this dad just knew how to make his kids obey, man, this is a horrible dad. And they were judging this dad, and one of the kids finally ran right into the leg of this guy. And the guy stood up and he said, sir, can you control your kids? And he said, I'm so sorry. We've been in the hospital all day. My wife just passed away, and we're on our way home. But yes, I will try. When the people heard the story, it changed their heart. Because they realized the dad's situation. But what if it didn't take hearing the story to love people? What if we started with love? And if we heard the story, It just was one more thing to say, God, thank you that I did not react in a way that I regret. So the word says, be quick listeners, slow to speak and slow to anger. Slow, stop, and evaluate. Listen. Obey. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, each one of us, we all struggle with this. Whether it's where our mind goes, but our mouth never says, but our mind thinks it and says it. Maybe it's how we react. It's with our spouse, it's with our kids, it's with our roommate. It's whatever, wherever it is, Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply this to our lives. Lord, may we walk in love that people would know that we follow you with everything that we have.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.